tucking into Scone Cup Day today, one of the best country meetings going around, one of the great tracks going around, isn't it, Adam? You would have done a Scone Cup or two in your time.
I've done it a couple of times, Jared, yes. I haven't been for a few years, I must admit, but it's a staying test. It's a good test over 24, 48 hours. Are you guys flying home in the chopper tonight, or what's the plan to get home?
No.
We wish.
No, I've got an interesting drive home later.
Yeah, I'm in the car as well.
Yeah, I'm in the passenger seat.
So you're staying sober all day?
Didn't say that.
Okay. You've got a driver. That's the main thing.
Yeah, helpful.
Excellent.
Now, Lost and Running is going to be probably the horse to watch tomorrow as far as its Everest credentials are concerned because, gee, it's been impressive, hasn't it?
Yeah, what a great meeting we've got at Rosehill there tomorrow, Jared, first and foremost. 150 acceptors, and no doubt this is the horse that most people have their eyes on, Lost and Running, this Luskin Star Stakes. Now, just reading some comments from John O'Shea in the press today. He's saying that if he thinks this horse wins tomorrow, he's a very good chance of being accepted into the Everest field. So he would know better than most what sort of the wheeling dealings are behind the scenes. And what this horse has done so far has been quite remarkable. He's winning races by big margins. He's running times. He's putting the figures on the clock there. So you can't do much more than that. But again, this is a step up. He's obviously going to be tested at 1,300 metres, obviously, for the first time. Having said that, the map just looks like everything just falls into his favour perfectly there for Tommy Barry. He should find the lead. Nothing else I wouldn't imagine would attack him. Do you want to dive in at the $1.50, $1.55? Oh, probably not, in my opinion. But is there something else you can back to beating him? I find it hard to think. So maybe Order Again might be the nice sort of Exacta or Quinella play there. But, can't wait to see what Lost and Running does there tomorrow, guys. Really exciting and promising horse I've got here in Sydney.
Adam, how do you see... Oh, sorry, Lost.
No, sorry, Pop.
How do you see today panning out up here in Scone, Adam?
Yeah, this is a great Scone Cup this year, Clarkie. A lot of depth to the field. Obviously, a couple of horses in really good form. Order Again, the horse I mentioned there, is obviously accepted for the Luskin Stars, also accepted for the Scone Cup. So I'm not quite sure which way Chris Waller's going to go. We're going to obviously find out in the next half hour or so when it comes to scratching deadline. But he was awesome first up last campaign, albeit on a wet track over 1550. So he might be a bit of a smoky in this Scone Cup if he does head there today. But no doubt Royal Celebration's in great form as well. Purple Spectre back on top of the ground. Allure Me In, he's a much despised horse he was early in his career, but he's really found some consistency in his form in the last sort of 12 to 18 months. So just adding that Dark Jewel to the program today as well has got to give it a bit more, I suppose, oomph to the Friday program now as well.
Yeah, big day at Flemington tomorrow. The winner of the Andrew Ramsden gets a golden ticket into the Melbourne Cup. So exciting day for connections involved.
Yeah, I've been a massive advocate, Laurie, for a couple more of these sort of winning your in races, these golden ticket races into the Melbourne Cup. But I must say, it's a pretty disappointing field, you would think. At this time of year, when they've got no internationals down here, obviously you can keep your horses in, just a little bit more work after the Autumn Carnival and try and get that ticket into the Melbourne Cup. We've only got a field of 10. I wouldn't say there's a great deal of quality there, to be fair, and that's no disrespect to the horses or connections involved in this race. So I would have thought we could maybe potentially get a bit of a better field than what we've got there tomorrow. Persan's the way I want to play the race. I know he was disappointing last start, being beaten as a short price favourite in a small field, but what he did last spring was amazing. His run in the Melbourne Cup was fantastic. So if he recaptures any of that for me, around the $4, $85 is a really attractive price for him and that Andrew Ramsden.
What's your reason behind that then, mate? Because it's a good way to get a horse into the Melbourne Cup.
Laurie, I just don't think we've got the numbers. It's as simple as that, really. Like, are staying ranks that thin this year that we just can't have more than 10 runners for a golden ticket race in the middle of May for the Melbourne Cup? I'm really worried about what this Melbourne Cup's going to look like later this year because we've got a cap on international runners coming down to Melbourne later this year, obviously after that big Racing Victoria review of the tragedies in the Melbourne Cup over several years. So some of these Australasian, these Australian, New Zealand horses are going to have to step up to the mark to try and fill the 24 spots in this race. So I don't know. Purely to me, that's the only reason I can see. I haven't chatted to too many trainers at length about that, but I'd say it's just purely a lack of numbers at the moment.
It's a surprise. Well, I suppose it's not a surprise, but to see only 10 horses in a race like that and you know what the prize is at the end of the day, surely you'd be nominating your horse to run in it, wouldn't you?
Uh-oh. Yeah, and sure as the day rises tomorrow, there'll be trainers whinging in the spring when they get balloted out at number 25 or 26 in the Melbourne Cup, saying they should make it easier for our local horses to get into the race. Well, they can have no complaints when you get a field like this for a golden ticket race. So I don't know. I know this sort of concept of this Andrew Ramsden providing the golden ticket's only relatively new. It's only been up and going for 2 or 3 years, but I just sort of hope we've got a better field than what we've got there at Flemington tomorrow.
Who do you like tomorrow?
I won't be Robinson Crusoe here tomorrow, Jared. Race 5, number 1, Prime Star is the best bet on the program. I think the Freedmans have played it really smart. They pulled up stumps after that round with Guineas run. He's had a nice trial in between. He's just thrown in at the weights and the conditions of this race. It's English Guineas there tomorrow. So I think he's the best bet on the program. And I think the best value is race 7, number 3, California Zimbal, in a really open Hortensia Stakes. She wasn't great last start, but she's got a couple of things in her favour. She gets back to her favourite track at Rose Hill. She loves a bit of sting out of the ground. She gets a nice soft draw. So I think I can just see her stalking the pace there. And provided she's presented at the right time, she might be somewhere in the finish around that double figures. So race 5, number 1, Prime Star, the best. And race 7, number 3, California Zimbal, the best value bet on the program.
Yeah, California Zimbal, $10 the win, $3.10 the place. And Prime Star, $2.90. And in that race, Adam, Exo Boom. Jamie's wrestled the multi off Loz today and has Exo Boom for the place. She's actually pretty confident that Exo Boom can beat Prime Star, but Exo Boom can run a hole here for us, surely.
Exo Boom can run a hole, no doubt about it, but I am heavily in the corner of Prime Star to beat him home and win the race.
All right. Well, Prime Star wins, Exo Boom second, everyone's happy. Good on you, mate. Have a great weekend.
You take it easy up there today, boys.